Have you been boldly prophesying over your family? You backed off? Don't you dare back off. You got to be intentional with that. The title of my message today is Be Intentional. You have to be intentional to prophesy over your job, over your family, over your lives, over your children, over your cousins, aunts, uncles, over this holiday season. You have to be intentional to prophetically speak over your life. I know Brandon had talked about fish. That's it. And the first thing that came to my mind was the Jefferson. Fish don't fry in the kitchen. I don't know. Anybody else's mind go there? Beans don't burn on the grill. But you have to be intentional. Well, what God wants for you in your life, He wants good things for you. But you have to be intentional. I know we can get to that place to where complaints can be our biggest thing, and prayer is communication with God, is talking with Him. It doesn't have to be anything great, anything elaborate. I mean, it's like, God, I don't know how to pray. I said, well, you know how to talk? You know how to listen? And that's the most important thing there, listen. And do you know how to obey? If He tells you something, if He shows you something, are you going to do it in that season? Or are you going to try to work it yourself? If you know how to talk, you know how to listen, you know how to obey, you're communicating with Him. You're praying. You're getting into His word. You're being intentional with it. In Hebrews 10, if you got your Bibles, open up. Hebrews 10, 23. It says this, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, and God can be trusted to keep His promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. It's talking about living with a purpose, living on purpose, living intentionally, being intentional in what you're doing in your everyday life. Sometimes we can go through life with no plan. I've winged it before. No more winging it. When you're winging it, it's just you're all over the place. You're doing this one day. I mean, if people, it's like you're doing this one day, then the next day you're doing this. You're on your way to do that. Now you got to go and do this. It's like there's no plan. There's no purpose. But as we see the day is approaching that Jesus is coming for His bride, living a life intentionally for God will help you share your faith, encourage, and to build each other up. Let us figure out ways. Let us think of ways how we can motivate each other. I'm not saying put a watch the show. Y'all remember the Karate Kid back in the day? Everybody raise your hand and watch Karate Kid. If you haven't, we're gonna sit you down and watch it. But now they got this thing on Netflix, it's called Cobra Kai. And this is a kid, I don't want to spoil it for you. But Johnny, y'all remember Johnny? Johnny is teaching this young kid. He had gotten into an accident, a fight at school, and became paralyzed and stuff. And he was trying to get this kid walking back again. He decided to kind of motivate him to help him and lit a match under his leg to see, because his legs were paralyzed. And he was thinking he's going to stomp it out or what have you. You're going to have to move. I can't, man. I'm on fire. So he had to go and grab the fire extinguisher to put him out. I said, we don't want to motivate people in that direction, but sometimes you need to light a match on the people. Move. If you're trying to serve someone up and everything goes sour, you might want to reevaluate why and how you're doing it. It says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. When you start thinking about those ways, you begin to live your life intentionally. Your prayer starts to change. Father, how can I bless someone today? Who needs help? Who needs healing in their body? Who needs to be prayed for? Is someone who needs food today, Lord? Who can I sow these groceries into? Is there anything that you want me to do for somebody in my life? in today's time, Lord? Is there? You're living it out intentionally. Point me in the right direction, Lord. Who do you want me to share my faith with? When you start living for Christ rather than for self, the Lord will show you things to come. You won't have to make up stories about what you've done for others. I mean, some people can be really, really good storytellers. I said, but you want those stories to be real. You never have to embellish on what God is doing in your life. Because the reality of it is, I said, when he's doing something, it's going to be miraculous. It's going to be supernatural. And sometimes when we embellish, we're just embellishing to make ourselves look good, not him. He don't need you to make yourself look good. Miracles will glorify him. He wants to work through you. As the day is drawing near, God doesn't want us giving up on meeting with one another. Doesn't mean I have to go to church and stuff. You are the church. It says not to forsake. Forsake means to quit on. What stopped that individual from quitting, from coming to church? Well, it's the same old thing every single week. Our family, somebody in our family gets sick, so the whole family has to stay. Well, my car broke down. Well, your car is going to break down every Saturday night, conventionally, you know, if you run out of gas, you forget to fill it up. I just didn't have enough. When you start living intentionally, those excuses stop coming. When I was with my wife, bringing the kids, I said, you going to church? No, I'm tired. That began to be the thing. I said, I worked early Sunday morning. I'm tired. No, I don't want to go. So you take them. I'm tired. I said, it's like, okay, this is enough. Why? Because I was stuck in a rut. I'm going to have to get myself up. I'm going to have to motivate myself to get up and come to church. And once I started coming, I couldn't stop. I started getting involved. Well, not necessarily. They were involving me in other things. Hey, you want to do this? They were kind of helping to motivate me. See, God knows it's going to be beneficial for you if you press in. And no one can do this life alone. You're going to need that someone to help you navigate that journey that you're going to face. Jesus, remember, he's our example. Now, brother so-and-so over here, he's our example. And see, and it says it was his custom every Sabbath to be in the Father's house. Since it was his custom or his habit, it should be our example. In Luke 4:16, it says, "And so he," this is Jesus, "came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up," this is his hood, "and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on a Sabbath day and stood up to read." This was something that Jesus did every Sabbath. He came into Nazareth, into the temple, and he opened up the Bible, opened up the books, the scrolls to the prophet Isaiah, and he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach." Bad news or good news? To preach the gospel. Gospel is good news. Sometimes you're going to have to stir yourself up every single day. The Lord has anointed me to preach this good news to people. He has anointed me to share these things, and not just share, but to demonstrate. He has anointed me to do this. You've got to remind yourself every single day, if not every week, he has anointed you to do this. This is every believer. And it was his custom. This was something he did. Well, if it was something that Jesus did his disciples do it? Acts 17. This is Paul. Then Paul, as his what? Custom was, went into them. This is a synagogue. And for 3 Sabbaths, reasoned with them from the scriptures. It was his custom, as it was disciples, and it should be ours. It should be ours. We don't do it because we feel like it. We do it because we're being intentional. We do it because we want to fellowship with the Father. We do it because we want to come and worship him and learn more about him and grow together as one. Living on purpose for Jesus helps you to understand why he said he can only do what he sees the Father do. He can only say what he hears the Father say. He can only do. I said, Jesus was living intentionally. Everything he did was intentional. Everything the disciples did were intentional. Well, They got corrected on some of the things, obviously. In Mark 2, it says, and again, he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door, and he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men, and when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on the paralytic, which the paralytic was lying. Living for Jesus on purpose keeps you talking and sharing about what he has done for you in your life and in the life of others. This man's friends basically brought him here. And if it wasn't for those people sharing their faith about Jesus and talking about him, and if he wasn't living intentionally, this man was still, he never would have got healed. Because how would they have known? See, when you're living your life intentionally for Jesus, you're going to start talking about him a whole lot more and about what he's doing in your life and about who he is and how good he is. They heard this. He's at so-and-so's house. All right, let's roll. Grab Jacob. Let's go. Well, Jacob don't want to come. Grab Jacob and let's go, man. Jesus is over here. Well, we can't get in. Let's climb up back. Why? We got to get to him. Why? He's the healer. Pull back the roof and lower his friend down. He sees their face. When you're living intentional, the friends that you have around you will help impact your life. It'll take you from here to here. No, not from here to here. If you got friends that'll take you from here to here, get rid of them. These guys were determined to get their friend to the healer. They have been parents. Some of y'all have your own testimony. How many of you drug? I mean, when you were just at your wit's end and you know that the only thing that you can do is drag them to church so they can hear the word being preached. I can't get through you. Maybe the pastor can. Maybe he has a word for you. And you did it. And you did it faithfully. You going to church? Oh, say, oh yeah, we going to church. Come on, let's go. Get up. Time to go. We got to go. But daddy ain't going. I don't care if daddy ain't going. We coming. We going. Why is it all those mothers that are mostly dragging? Seriously. Us men got to step up. We got to bring our kids to church. We, Isaiah, growing up, we had a rule in our house when they want friends to spend a night. And that rule was, if they spend a night on Saturday, they hang out, play games, all that stuff, you know, all night. They get up in the snack bucket. My wife has this big old snack bucket filled with, I mean, I'm talking about some goodies. And then every once in a while, 3-4 o'clock in the morning, you hear somebody coming up the stairs. Dun, dun, dun. Because it just echoes in our room. And you hear them, one after another, just grabbing a handful. Finally, I just got up one night and just took the whole thing, set it right in the middle of it. I said, here, there you go. Enjoy. But one of our rules in the house was, if you stay tonight, Saturday night, you got to get up and go to church in the morning with us. All right, cool. Most of them did it, and they did it kind of faithfully. And in doing so, it helped them to come on to R3 on Wednesday nights. But there was this, I get up Sunday mornings. I got up at 4:30, 4:45 this morning. And so I always got up early because we also had worship, rehearsal and stuff, and go over the songs. And I get up, and nobody else gets up before me on those mornings. And I hear somebody slam the door, just close the door. And I was like, who's that? I get up, and I open up the door, and I see one of Isaiah's friends hightailing it down the street, just running home. I was like, I guess he didn't want to go to church. I was like straight out of a movie, man. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen because he was a little heavy set, but he was hightailing it down. He did not want to go to church that morning because he knew that was one of the things we're going to do. We're going to take you to church. You can come and eat lunch afterwards or what have you. I said, but that's something we're going to do. We were intentional when it came to that. We were intentional when it came on Wednesday nights. Wednesday nights, what did we do? Huh? We picked people up. And I started taking them out to Sonic afterwards. You come, I'm going to take you out. Y'all can hang out at Sonic and get some food, and y'all can play on the things and whatever, right? And then we started going to Applebee's afterwards, and that became a little more expensive. You don't incorporate your wife because she wants to spend money. Sonic was cheap. No, but I mean, we spent so much there, we put a dude in college. Through college, I mean, who was that, Garrett? We put them through college. But we were intentional with that. Why? Because we wanted to sow into them. So when you become intentional, you start living for Christ, you know it's going to change people's lives. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God is one of those things. Like, it's not like, listen, you can turn on the television, but it's not the same as actually being there. So we don't forsake meeting with other people. We don't forsake those table talks. We don't forsake going to those conferences. We don't forsake those things. We don't quit on what God has for the body of Christ. In 2 Chronicles 16:9, see, God is looking for people to do great and mighty exploits in your life. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. You come to the right place because why? Because Jesus is the answer. You bring them here because you know Jesus is the answer. You share the word of God on the streets or what have you in your homes or at jobs because you know that Jesus is the answer. It's not you, it's Jesus. You have the answer. He is the answer. His word is the answer. If it wasn't for people intentionally talking about Jesus, they never would have found out where he was teaching. Where is the word being preached? You would know that. If the word is being preached and if it's being demonstrated, people would know. Why? Because you're talking about it. You're sharing it. You're living it out intentionally. What about your friends? Do your friends know you come to church on Sundays? Are you one of those closet Christians? They don't know what I do on Sunday. Oh, no, I got to go home early. I said, what do you got tomorrow? Oh, nothing. I got church. You want to go? We're coming to worship. There's going to be some songs here. There might be a few people running around. We're shouting. Hey, when you come in here, you can raise your hands. You can clap. You can sing. You can dance. You can stomp. You have that liberty. Sing out loud. I was waiting for Ever to do that, but he didn't do it, so. We'll work on him. So now that he's here, we're going to have service Monday night, Tuesday night. When you are intentional about your relationship with the Father, everything changes. You are no longer moved by what others say about you. You're no longer governed by your feelings and emotions. False prophetic words no longer apply to you because of your relationship with him. If what others say about you don't line up with Jesus and his word and what he has already spoken to you in your heart, don't receive it. Why am I saying that? Because Jesus came into your life to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. He wants you to have that Zoe life. When you're intentional, bringing your friends and family members to the place of worship becomes a lot easier. My family know. This is what we do. I know Saturday night, I got to shut it down at a certain hour. I got to get up early. So even if we do come late, I still got to shut it down. That just means that Sunday afternoon nap is going to hit just right. We get home 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, what have you, from traveling and stuff. I said, I get up at 4:30 still. So I'll try to sleep for a couple of hours and get up. You have to get to the place of being confident in who you are in Christ. Being unashamed because you picked up your cross daily and chose to follow him. So when was the last time you actually brought someone outside your family to church, to this place of worship? If it's been a while, stir yourself up. Be intentional. It's a whole lot easier if the whole family does it rather than one person. How I used to invite young people to R3, hey, what are you doing Wednesday night? Nothing. I said, you don't go anywhere on Wednesday nights? No. You heard of R3? Yeah. Come on out. You need a ride? You know Isaiah? You know Ethan? Yeah. Call him up. We'll come pick you up. Cool. That took me about a couple of years to get to that place to do that. But once I got it, hook, line, and sinker, man, it's on. Be intentional. When you're spending time with the Lord, be intentional. Meaning shut everything off. But what if somebody calls me? They can wait. They can wait. What if it's an emergency? It can wait. Seriously, we'll drop anything for anyone but God. Think about that. Somebody calls up. Yeah, I'll be there right away. I said, God's calling. I ain't got time for you. Let me click on this show. This game is on. I got to go here. I got to take my kids here. He's calling. We don't want to drop everything for him, but we'll drop everything for everyone else. We got to be able to shut that off. But what if something tragic just happens to those people? I said, it's good. It is good. Can I share that last night? They were coming. You know, if y'all know Edward always seems like he's in a race with no one else, but it's just him. He loves, I said, NASCAR's his thing, man, so he likes to drive. But I'm just saying, they were on the way. They came from Arizona and right outside of Rush Center, I believe, right? 50 miles south of Rush Center. Hayes. Hit a deer. Deer was in the middle of the road. Head on. Car's totaled. So my wife had to drop everything and go and pick them up and stuff like that. So they were safe. They just got some of the airbag chemicals in their lungs and stuff and all that. But thank God they were safe. So those types of things. Yeah, I get that because they don't want to be out there in the dark and stuff like that because the whole car just shut off. So you had to go pick them up. Those are the types of things. When you know certain situations don't imply that sort of thing, that's okay. But when you know a certain individual might be, well, everything is always an emergency. Because they want it done their way. You can wait. I'm going to spend some time with the Lord. You know, they told Jesus, I said, Jesus loved Mary, loved Martha, loved them. But even after he was told that Lazarus had died, he stayed where he was at 2 more days. He wasn't in a hurry because he already knew what he was going to do. He was going to raise him up. Why? Because he is the resurrection. That power doesn't seem to dwindle and just drop off all of a sudden because you were told right then and there. It's in you. He's with you. You're never alone wherever you go. God is always with you. So when you have to spend that time with him, spend it. Even if your spouse don't like it, I'm spending some time with the Lord. Why? I just want to talk with him. I just want to get to know him. Even better. I just like being in his presence. Well, you need to go to... I just like being there. Kids could be running all around, acting like they're losing their mind. But you know what? You're at peace because you're with the Father. Stay where you're at. Listen to what the Lord is telling you first. Be patient. Love is what? What is love? What's the first one? You say you study it, Tom. What is love? Love is what? That first word starts with a P. It's patient. Love is patient. He told me he studies it every day. He reads it every day. That's good. Love is patient. I have to read it every day too, because, you know, I'm married to a patient woman. So God is not only going to have you work on your patience, but now your friend or whoever needs you gets to work on theirs. Because they're more dependent upon you than they are God. And we're supposed to be showing people how to rely on him rather than us. Okay? His power works the same every time. And I guarantee you, there's people in this community that's never heard the gospel before. And I'm not trying to knock this, because I know people do this. They go door to door and stuff and all that. If that blesses you, God bless you. I can't do that. I did that one time. We did that. Not too many people want to open up the door for me, especially when they're not, expecting me. Didn't call ahead. Y'all order a black dude over here? So the best way for me to actually evangelize or to share my faith or what have you is when, number one, I'm being intentional. The Lord is with me. I'm out and about. Because you know why? I had 100% success rate doing it. You're just coming across people that you see every single day. I said, not everyone is at home all the time. When our kids are playing sports and stuff, what have you, we're traveling, we're not at home. Some people come by there, well, nobody's here. I said, okay, you don't have to do all that. If you want to, God bless you. I'm not trying to knock that. Not everyone allows their kids to open up the doors if they're at home, at work, and then you don't open up your door to strangers. So y'all also got to consider that too. So when you're out and about, be intentional. Lord, one person. Please don't make it someone that likes to talk a lot. Why? Because you might be there for about 45 minutes. And all you wanted to do is talk about your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Excuse me. That's why. But you could be intentional everywhere you go, in line. Just a word of encouragement. Because you're thinking of ways on how you can motivate and encourage other people. And those are some of the best. Just those little things go a long way. And that might open up to the door where you begin to pray for them. I did that on a three-day span over here at Serves, 3 days in a row. It's Lorenzo's barbecue, people, right? Talk with Lorenzo, sharing some things, and I was able to share the gospel. I was just believing God and just being intentional. Lord, help me, because this is the first time I'm doing this, stepping out in faith. And all of a sudden, you know, he starts talking about his knees. I was like, okay. Now I begin to share about what Jesus did for him. Asked if I can pray with him. Said, oh, yeah. God healed his knees. Came back the next day. See, this is when I was on a keto diet. You know, keto, you get to eat meat. And I like eating meat. See, if I cook dinner, my wife would have all the fixings and all the sides and stuff. Just give me meat and bread. That's all I need. Huh? Well, you can't have bread on keto, see? You can if your wife ain't looking. Just give me some meat. So I went there literally the next day, because I get those country style ribs. They're really, really good. Got it. And then his daughter is serving. You that guy that was talking to my dad the other day. I said, yes, ma'am. I said, how's your day going? How are you doing? She goes, oh, I'm doing all right, but my back's been hurting. So I shared a little bit about Jesus. asked if it was okay to pray with her. She said, oh yeah, pray with her. God healed her back. She begins to share that she was Muslim. Said, all right, now you know Jesus. He's the healer. Not your God. That's why. No, I didn't say it like that. Jesus did this, not your God. That's why. So got my ribs, paid for them. Went back there the next day. Give me some more ribs. See, y'all laugh, but again, I lost 4 pounds that week. We go back. Her brother's there. I'm getting ribs. I'm just getting ribs and stuff. And I see her, his sister, come out back. And she come right there. And I'm just ordering ribs. And she goes, his back hurt too. I said, all right. Share a little bit about Jesus. God healed his back too. He's like, well, man, that feels good. That's all right. All right. All right. Okay. So that just happened for 3 days. When you're intentional. That can happen every single day of your life. For the rest of your life. When you're intentional. There's another time when I was in California. I know I shared this beforehand. I was like, but I was wanting the Lord. I want to impact people's lives. I want to be able to share the gospel with people. Give me an opportunity to do that. And I had an opportunity. It was that young lady who was a girl who was in line. And I was supposed to get some water. So I went back to get some hand sanitizer, come back to the front, and she's still there. And they're like, it's like 217 or something like that. You don't have enough. Or 285 or something like that. I was like, surely somebody's got some change that they can give to her in line. Because there are a few other people. No one. So I just paid with a five and gave her her money back and then actually gave her my change so she can have. And everybody's like, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. I said, but deep down, oh, that was cool, that was awesome. But deep down, I was like, I'm just trying to get out of here. I was trying to speed up the line. I was like, man, let's keep it moving. Keep it moving. Like the school lines, keep it moving. So as I pay for my stuff, get the water, pay for my stuff, and I walk out, she's trying to explain to her grandmother how is it that she went in with $2 but came out with more. And she's trying to explain, and when she saw me, she looked at me, and she was very, very thankful. And I was like, de nada, you know, yeah. I know a little Spanish, de nada. And as I'm walking, it just hit me like, Lord, I get it. It's not just for me. It's to help other people. It's to help other people. I get it. You're blessed to be a blessing. No matter how great or small. Yeah, that was a small thing, but it was impactful in their lives. And if I would have known Spanish fully, I could have shared the gospel with them. I didn't have Rosetta Stone with me. It makes a world of difference when you are. In Colossians, it says this, let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. When you make the tree good, it will bear good fruit. When you are rooted and built up in Christ, your faith in God grows stronger. It doesn't just happen overnight. Spiritual growth is about being able to think for yourselves, being able to speak for yourselves, or what have you. It's one of those things. You can't listen. You can't be if there's an apple tree out there, an apple tree, if it's not fully developed, cannot take the leaves off of another tree and then be like, oh, look at me. Take the fruit. Well, let me get some oranges over here. No, you're an apple tree. You got to bloom. You're rooted. You're already rooted, and you're going to bear fruit. And if you're not bearing much fruit, give it time. Because you will. You will. Spiritual growth is not just being able to think for yourself, it's also speaking for yourself. We don't speak for other individuals. Allow them to speak that. Allow them to say that. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, our very own. What my wife goes through and stuff like that, I said, now I can speak for her, but she'll grow a lot quicker when she can get up and say it herself and speak for herself. I don't speak for my children. They're grown. It's their faith. I don't try to control that narrative. It's how you grow. You mess up, okay, all right. Mess up, fess up, let's keep moving. But this is how you grow, because all you're doing is just working on your testimony. You're working on your story. You're working on your spiritual growth. You're working on those things because the reality of it is that when God is wanting to do something in your life and there's dead branches, he's going to prune all those dead branches. Whatever that he didn't put in you, he's going to take out. He's going to see his work completed in you. He's going to see it through. He's the author and finisher of our, come on, he's going to see it through. In Psalms 92, it says, but the godly will flourish like palm trees. You know, in California, they got a lot of palm trees. First time we went out, I took my wife. She's just so lucky that I'm just so adventurous and outgoing. And because the only place that she really went was to Red River. And, you know, I'm from California, so she is able to see California when we went out there in 97, and literally, I said, you know, it's a lot of buildings out there now, but we had strawberry fields all around. We hold a huge strawberry festival, and unfortunately, I've never been to one. Lived there for 20-some years, never been to one. And we're driving, palm trees, looking nice, strong, swaying in the wind. And she goes, what are those people doing out there? I said, what out there? I said, those are strawberry pickers. They do that? That's real? I said, yeah, that's a real thing. I said, it's a good thing I got out of Kansas for a little bit, because she was kind of bottled in a little bit. She's got a little more color in her now. Well, how is that possible? How is that possible for you to flourish? They are transplanted to the Lord's own house. They flourish in the courts of God. And it says this, even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. See, when you're still rooted in God, you're still rooted in Christ, even in our old age, we're still going to be producing fruit. It will be remain vital and green. That's why it's important to stay connected to the source. Stay connected to the Father. Be rooted in him. And whatever he hasn't put in you, God is going to root it out. Whatever he didn't plant, he's going to root it out. Amen. Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Father God, that we can continue to live intentional today, Lord, that we could be intentional for what you have called us to do, Lord. It's not living out our purpose, not living out our own selfish ambition, Lord. It's living it for you. Your plans and purposes for our life, Father, and we just thank you that if we do get off the wrong track, that you will put us right back on again. We thank you for being our guiding light, that strong tower in the midst of that storm, Lord. We thank you that every single day that we can rely upon you and upon your word. And we just give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's stand. Kumbaya. Somebody getting ready to clap off beat. No, it's fine. All right, let's go. Let me see. Is someone in here dealing with some heart problems? Yes, ma'am, come on up. I seen another hand. Yes, ma'am, come on up, please. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. Hallelujah. Diana, can you put those lyrics up from Firm Foundation? And I just want the congregation to sing this. First verse. And then would you go to the second verse? And then the chorus. Okay, so we're just going to sing those over and over. Or the second chorus, I guess. Chorus two. The he won't fail part. And neither will these hearts in the name of Jesus. Y'all ready to sing? Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaken, I've never been more glad. 'Cause I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations, so why would he fail now? He won't. He won't fail. Voices in here. And Lord, we just love serving you, Lord. You're just a good father. You're a good, good father. And we love you. And if there's any hardened hearts in here, Lord, help to soften that up, Lord. Especially over the holidays where it can get a little testy, Lord. We just thank you for peace that surpasses all understanding in the homes today. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday. No Wednesday night service.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.